Delta Hotel, I see that hand. Please come up.
I've realized that I've been mispronouncing your nick, he and me. I was calling you hind me. Let's see, the weaker brother. Were you, let's see, in retrospect, are you saying that the weaker brother that Paul speaks of in Romans 14 were kingdom Jews? Okay. That's, sorry, my phone's beeping. I don't know if you hear that or not. And I don't see the infirmities of the weak. Is that what you were talking about? I thought you were asking about the Corinthians. And I'm reading Romans 15:1 now. We then that are strong, not to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to education. So I don't know. I guess I misunderstood the question. I thought you were talking about the mixed group that was in Corinth. And so I guess I misunderstood the question. I came in late and I was having a hard time following Mike there at the end. So I'm not sure about the question. But in general, during the Acts time period ministry of the Apostle Paul, the members of the church, the body of Christ, and Paul in particular, intermingled with kingdom saints. You following me? And a lot of this had to do with the fact that they all worshiped the same crucified, buried, and resurrected Jesus Christ. Another thing that they had in common is what I think Mike was talking about is the foundational gospel of God. The first four verses in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the foundational gospel of God. The first four verses, as they appear in our King James Bible, or any Bible for that matter, that are written by the Apostle Paul. Not the first four verses that he, not the first thing that he wrote, but the first thing that appears in our Bible is the foundational gospel of God. It tells us who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. That's foundational to all gospels in the Bible. It's foundational to the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, that we believe. That Christ died for our sins and was resurrected for our justification. It wouldn't much matter that Christ died for our sins if he was not the Son of God. Right? He and me? So the foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation for the gospel of the kingdom is also the gospel of God. The fact that he is the Son of God. Recently doing some studies when Jesus Christ took them to Caesarea and asked them the question, who do you think I am? Who do people think I am? Who do you think I am? And he answered, and Peter answered and said, you are the Son of God. So Jesus of Nazareth preached the foundational gospel of God. Peter preached the foundational gospel of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Jesus Christ, I don't have a Bible posting program on this phone that I can use. in Pal Talk, so I'm talking off the top of my head. But in verse 36, you have crucified your Messiah. He is the Christ. Philip preached the gospel of God to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch asked him, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip asked him what he believed. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that's what they all had in common. The gospel of God, the foundational gospel of God. And that's one of the distinctions that Mike teaches. I think that most of mainstream, what I'll call mainstream Mid-Acts dispensationalists, are finally understanding this. I recall probably about 10 years ago, some of us were saying, you know, the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God are different. They either have a different message or they're addressed to a wider variety of an audience. And mainstream Mid-Acts dispensationalists said, oh, no. They're all the same gospel, it's just different terminology. But they're starting to come around. That's the same thing that covenant theologians say about, well, you know, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. It's all the same gospel, it's just different terminology. But we know better than that, right? We know better than that. So a lot of people have come around to the fact that the gospel of God in Romans chapter 1 through chapter 1 verses 1 through 4 is different than the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, in Romans 1:16. Hidden Christ, you don't what? You don't understand the difference between the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ, or you don't understand the difference? Yeah, I see she's asking you, but I don't know what, you know. Oh, okay, I see. One of those deals. Free-for-all room. Okay, all right, well. So I guess I'll go back here and yeah, Matthew 16 and specifically, I think I forget the verse there, Mike, where just before Peter answers and says, thou art the Son of God, or the Son of the living God, I think is the terminology. And then Jesus Christ talks about, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it. That little exchange. There you go. There's the gospel of God. Let me think of an example of Paul preaching the foundational gospel of God. Romans 9 verse 20, Mike. Romans 9 verse 20. This is Saul of Tarsus, just after his conversion on the road to Damascus, and he's in Damascus. No, Acts. I'm sorry. Acts 9:20. I'm sorry. Did I say Romans? There we go. And this is Saul of Tarsus. And straightway he preached Christ, where? In the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God. Another example of, again, the gospel of God tells us who Jesus Christ is. Are you with me? He and me? This is something a little bit different. That I think is very important. Acts 13:1, Barnabas and Saul. Um, Well, it's not more general. It's foundational. I was going to take he and me, the gospel of God. Let me show the difference between the gospel of grace and the gospel of Christ. Oh, okay. I think that's coming. but making sure that you understand the gospel of God. Paul preached it as the foundation. That's the first thing he did. Maybe we should look at Acts 17. Yes, there's more than two gospels. Gospel means good news, and Paul preached three gospels. And I'm sorry, Mike, so he and me is asking about, I don't know, he's asking about the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Is that what Byron Wiggins is going to be covering on Sunday? Is that what you're talking about? Okay, the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first and also to the Greek, he and me. The gospel of the grace of God is the same message of salvation, people. I'm not saying that during the time of the book of Acts that anybody was excluded from salvation under the gospel of Christ, but Paul's ministry was to the Jew first and also to the Greek first. And I think Mike was talking about the Greeks in the synagogues of the Jews. Yeah, it's a matter of sending, not restriction. That's a good way to put it. So the gospel of the grace of God is Paul going to all people. Paul being sent to all people. If you watch that's what he was talking about in the Corinthian letter, I guess, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is it? All our fathers were baptized under the cloud and under the sea. I'm really having a difficult time getting this into detail, talking on this phone without being able to post verses. But the difference. So I can't answer that question right now without a verse poster, he and me. But I want to get back to the conversation here, backing it up to a less complicated topic. Can somebody post for Hidden in Christ? Galatians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. For Hidden in Christ. Paul writing about the meeting that took place in Acts chapter 15. Here in Galatians chapter 2. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Hidden in Christ, how many gospels are in that one verse? The gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. And there are more than one, there's more than two gospels in the Bible, but at the time period of the book of Acts, we're talking specifically about gospels of salvation, about promises of salvation. You say, we look back. We look back. Well, that's the thing. One of the biggest blunder, it's not the biggest blunder, But one of the biggest blunders in religion today is that we take Pauline doctrine, the doctrine that was revealed to the Apostle Paul from the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ, and we read it back into Scripture and retroactively apply it to those who came before, to include Peter. Peter preached a different promise of salvation after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ than did Paul. They're both true, and there was an overlapping period of time where there were two legitimate promises of salvation. Okay, well then let's look at the gospel of salvation that they both preached. Can we do that? And Mike, do you have to go somewhere? It looks like I opened a can of worms here, but this is the basics. Is it not? Well, actually, I'm going to get moved to the laptop now. Because this is really important. Bear with me. I'll have to hop off the phone here for a minute and then sign back on. So if somebody wants to raise your hand. And hidden in Christ? Oh, no, these are good questions. Believe me, hidden in Christ. It's not a yikes moment. You have the possibility of this being a light bulb moment. We acknowledge, number one, we acknowledge that we're a minority of believers. And that those that think there's only one gospel of salvation in the Bible, that is the majority view. So, Liberty, okay. Let's see here. How do I do this? All right. I will, I'll be right back momentarily, within a few seconds, actually, hopefully.
This topic is not something that's going to make or break the deal about salvation. The Lord saves those who trust Him to save them on the basis of Christ having died for their sins, been buried, and risen again. It's a matter of who the message was sent to when, and that shows, that helps us in understanding who is being spoken to in those Acts period epistles. And how to take it today, since those people are not here today. Go ahead. I don't see the hand. Where was it? There he is. Okay, go ahead, Delta.
Thanks. Sorry about that. I was just jabbering away. Okay, more than one gospel in the Bible. More than one gospel in the Bible. More than one. An echo right now? How's my sound? Test one, test two, test three. Everything okay? Okay there? Okay. More than one gospel in the Bible. More than one promise of salvation in the Bible. Dispensation has to do with it, yes. BIE 77. Okay, so at first, during the time period of the book of Acts, there were two legitimate promises of salvation being preached. Both of them involved the same crucified, buried, and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I'll cover the one that Paul preached first, because this is the only gospel of salvation that will save anybody today, right here today in 2020. It's called the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
It has a name, the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Leo, you see there, that's the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek first. Well, BIE 777, if you listen, you're gonna know what this is. This is the gospel of your salvation that I'm sharing with you right now. The gospel of your salvation is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. You see that? Romans 1:16. Put it back on the screen. Get your focus, get everybody's focus back on what I'm saying. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You see that? To everyone that believeth. What is that's the name of the gospel that Paul preached during the time period of the book of Acts. It's the name of the gospel that saves everybody on planet Earth today. Well, that's what I'm getting ready to show you in scriptures, BIE. And then we'll compare it with what Peter preached. And Peter preached a different promise of salvation. So the content of the message of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. One of the clearest presentations is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. You see the words, the gospel. Or rather, and I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, verse 2. Also, you are saved. Well, there's only one type of salvation, by which also you are saved. There's only one gospel that will save anybody today on planet Earth. That's right, hit it, Christ. Okay, so the content of the message. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so we see that the reason for the death of Christ is preached as good news. Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel of Christ. Is this what you're trusting hidden in Christ for your salvation today? It's what I'm trusting. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all people, Janice. First Timothy chapter 2. The exactly hidden in Christ. Exactly, me too. And that's Paul's gospel. That's not what Peter preached. And yes, Jesus is the only way. That's what we were talking about, the foundational gospel of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If he were not the Son of God, it would not have mattered if he died for our sins. Okay, well, they didn't look forward to the cross in the same way that we look back at the cross. That is religious rhetoric. Sorry to put it so bluntly. So let's look at what Peter preached after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ready to share. I'm getting ready to show you that. I just want everybody to maybe slow down. So again, just to repeat, the gospel that saves today is what is has the name of, and I'm going to put verses on the screen without reading. Okay, so just to back up what I'm saying, it's called the gospel of Christ, and that it's the power of God unto salvation. You see that? And in Romans 2:16, Paul calls it my gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It's a little bad news first, just to make it a little bit more clear. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. See how that fits together? And that's what we're trusting for our salvation. So the death of Jesus Christ, according to Paul, is preached as good news. Christ died for our sins. Just want to make sure everybody's clear on this gospel first, before we move to any others, because this is the only one that saves anybody today. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was resurrected for our justification. And that's what I'm sharing right now, hidden in Christ. Welcome back, Joy, in God. Okay, just want to make sure everybody's here. The gospel that saves today, the simplicity of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18 comes to mind. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us are saved. It is the power of God. So Paul preached the death of Jesus Christ as good news. Christ died for our sins. He preached the burial of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preached a future tense promise of salvation. Paul preached present tense salvation. Peter preached a different promised inheritance in the future kingdom of heaven on earth. Paul preached a heavenly inheritance. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? I am. Welcome back, Vaughn. So who am I talking to now? That hidden in Christ left. So anybody else got any other questions? I might be talking to BIE777. You still here? Or did you run away? The old one gospel in the Bible theory. It always comes back to that. Okay, BIE, let me show you what Peter preached. Okay? After the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, mind you, he preached the same crucified, buried, and resurrected Jesus Christ. Okay? Same Son of God, the Gospel of God, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Peter is preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And here in verse 36, he preaches the death of Christ, not as good news, but as bad news. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know. Who's the audience? All the house of Israel. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They took it as bad news. They were brokenhearted. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was Peter's answer? Trust that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was resurrected for your justification? No. Without any works of your own? No. That's not the message. The message is the water baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You know, there's a whole lot of people in religion today that hang their hat on this doctrine right here. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And yes, it is water baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's three words in that verse that religion is very confused about. You know, this is the same thing that John the Baptist preached before Jesus of Nazareth ever showed up on the screen. Mark 1:4, John did baptize in the wilderness, that baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So, baptism means identification. Repentance means a change of mind. And remission means a future forgiveness of sin. It doesn't mean present tense forgiveness. He was talking to Jews, you got that part right, but he's talking about works. Remember, Paul, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, baptism means identification. See, they were to repent. Remember what they were brokenhearted about? They, being the Jews, who murdered their Messiah. God made the same Jesus Christ whom you have crucified Christ. Oh, no. No. Who? The answer? Repent. Change your mind about who this Jesus Christ is. He's your prophesied Messiah. Change your mind about that. He's the Son of God. Change your mind about that. And be water baptized. Baptized means identification. Identify the fact that you have changed your mind about Jesus Christ. And you will receive the remission of sins. Not present tense. Think cancer. What happens, BIE, when somebody has cancer that goes into remission? It can always come back, can it? Water baptism doesn't represent death, burial, and resurrection. No. John the Baptist was preaching it long before Jesus of Nazareth showed up on the scene. Also, John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Three baptisms in one verse. John the Baptist speaking, I indeed baptize you with water. I indeed identify you with water unto repentance. Change your mind. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, yeah, but I know what you're saying. That's what mainstream religion says. but there wasn't a drop of water involved in the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't drown to death. So back to Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. That's Jesus of Nazareth. That's Jesus Christ, right? He, Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Three baptisms, three identifications. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus was the baptizer there. Let's look at that. After his death, burial, and resurrection, but before his ascension, Jesus Christ says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye, he's talking to the 11 apostles, Judas has yet to be replaced with Matthias, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. With, next chapter. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's another difference in the doctrine between what Peter preached, Peter, James, John, so on and so forth. What's our baptism? Just the opposite. Our baptism is by the Holy Spirit into Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, the church, the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one capital S Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ did the baptizing. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They, believing Israel, under kingdom doctrine, we today are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Jesus Christ. Just the opposite. It's a different doctrine. A different promised inheritance. They, believing Israel, never expected to go to heaven. They expected heaven to come to them. The Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, for they shall go to heaven. No. Their doctrine is to inherit the earth. The so-called Lord's Prayer. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So in earth. Their doctrine is for the kingdom of heaven to come to them. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus of Nazareth from that time Jesus began to preach and to say repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is called the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. A different gospel. It's a different promise of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom. What? Just a quick review. What's the name of the gospel that Paul preached? The name of the gospel that saves you and me today. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Christ. I think he and me, or Leo, understands the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of Christ. and Mike hopefully will explain the difference between the gospel, the minute difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. That's deep, deep, deep stuff. Right now we're simple. So you're with me still, BIE 777? Do you see the two gospels so far? The one that Jesus of Nazareth is preaching. And the 12. Remember, what's the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation? The one gospel that will save anybody today? Christ died for our sins. That's good news. He was buried and he was resurrected for our justification. Right? Right? Without any works, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about us, what we do or don't do. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that is God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's justification, to be accounted righteous in the eyes of God. Made righteous. We can't make ourselves righteous. We needed a Savior, and God provided one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our works cannot save us. Amen. You got it, BIE. That's Pauline doctrine. That's not what Jesus of Nazareth preached during his earthly ministry. It's not what the 12 apostles preached during his earthly ministry. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We can slow down on this quoting. But as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The water baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It just reminded me, I need to talk about repentance or remission. Acts 2. Same thing that Peter preached there at Pentecost. Let's look at that again. Compare Mark 1:4 and Acts 2:38. Repent, baptized, remission. Let's go to chapter 3. Look at the future tense language. Look at the future tense language here. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Somebody asked the question. When, Peter? When will that their sins be blotted out? Answer, future tense language, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You see that? That's a future day of atonement. We have now received the atonement. If somebody knows that verse, it's not coming to mind real quick. A future forgiveness of sins. A future salvation. A future tense salvation. Thank you. Mike, we have now received it. See, their salvation is future tense. See that BIE, their promise of salvation? The second coming of Jesus Christ after the 7 years. This is all in accordance with prophecy. Future tense salvation, a future tense forgiveness of sins. Let me go back to Jesus Christ. This is called the Olivet Discourse. So it's all prophecy. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Keep reading. And this gospel of the kingdom, there it is, the name, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Keep reading. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel chapter 9. Stand in the holy place, in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Do you understand what that's talking about? The 70th week of Daniel. 3.5 years in, the 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 years in, the abomination of desolation. And then shall the end come. And it's, and when he says, for a witness to, unto all nations, that's not Gentiles. Those are the Jews that are scattered. The Jews that are scattered from the Babylonian, you know, them bones in Ezekiel chapter or something or another. You know, them bones will be gathered from all the nations. Jews were scattered upon the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivity of Israel. Jews were all over the world at that time. That's where the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, to Jews. Okay, I'm getting off track there. I want to come back to something else just to wind this up. Wind this up. Because I know Mike's got things to do. We just read there in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. No wonder I was saying Romans. I was in Romans. Verse 21. Okay, let's pay attention closely. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Previous verse. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That's Peter speaking. Now let's compare that with what Paul writes. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. He's preaching the same crucified, buried, and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul's preaching Jesus Christ according to what he calls my gospel. And it's according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Welcome back there, Joy. Put that verse back on the screen just so we can compare it. Let's compare it. Peter's preaching the same crucified, buried, and resurrected Jesus Christ, but he's preaching it according to the holy prophets. Prophecy. Peter, prophecy. Paul, mystery. Peter's preaching according to the prophets, and it was spoken since the world began. Paul kept secret since the world began. Peter, prophecy spoken since the world began. Paul, mystery kept secret since the world began. Just to get your attention, there is more than one gospel in the Bible. There is more than one promise of salvation in the Bible. There is more than one promised inheritance in the Bible. But there's only one gospel that'll save anybody today with the dispensation of the grace of God, and that's Paul's my gospel, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected for our accounted righteousness, for our justification, without any works, no water baptism, no repentance. Well, we do need to repent. We do need to change our mind. Do you see what I'm... You may not get it yet, BIE, but do I have your attention? Do I at least get your attention? Yeah, the one gospel in the Bible theory is the mainstream religion. You're still listening, but are you getting it? Are you, do I have, do you kind of see that there, that what I'm talking about when I say there's more than one promise of salvation in the Bible? The majority view is there's only one gospel in the Bible. What I'm showing you is the minority view. I acknowledge that. Okay, Mike.